This is Jazz of Enchantment, a radio series spotlighting just some of the talented jazz players with ties to New Mexico. I'm Paul Ingalls. Sax player Rob Wilkerson is another in a cadre of young jazz players from Albuquerque, born in the 1970s, who played their way through the University of New Mexico and paid their dues, as it were, in the 1990s, to become noticed among the up-and-coming musicians living and working in the jazz mecca of New York City today. For Wilkerson, it started out when he picked up an old alto sax laying around the house when he was in fourth grade. After a year of retirement in fifth grade, his interest picked up again in middle school and accelerated through high school under the tutelage of local educators Larry Case, Arlen Asher, and John Sanks. After finishing at UNM and getting a master's at North Texas State, Rob began his composing and recording career in earnest, and lately has been touring the world with the popular singer Michael Bublé. Brought some of his recordings in and recalled for interviewer Roy Durfee, knowing as a boy that he'd found his niche in life.
I don't think I really had a place, you know, something that I felt really comfortable doing, and it was just a really good outlet for me, you know, being in band and having friends and feeling like you sort of fit in. And I think I had a good amount of natural talent, not anywhere near an amazing amount, but I had enough of amount of natural talent that once I was surrounded by some players that were better than me, you know, I was able to sort of sap off some of that. And so I think I improved a lot relatively quickly during that period, you know, to whatever level that I was at. So, you know, it's nice when you're successful at something when you're a kid, you know. It's like,
yeah,
it feels good. So for whatever level that was at, it was, you know, that sort of turned me on. And
so what did you find waiting for you at UNM?
I went there on scholarship. Sort of gets confusing, but I studied there for a couple years. There was a lot for me to learn, but I was just sort of anxious, and I actually dropped out after a couple years and moved to New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And just to sort of, I don't know what I thought I was going to do, be a jazz star or something. So I went out there, and I was studying in Philadelphia with this guy, Dennis Sandoli, who is most famous for being Coltrane's first teacher.
Uh-huh.
He also taught Pat Martino, and his whole method kind of comes from him. So that was an interesting period. I think during the period in New Jersey and studying with Sandoli, although I didn't really realize it at the time, I mean, I was definitely practicing, you know, a good 4 to 6 hours a day.
Wow.
And playing a lot of piano. So, you know, I don't think I had really ever done that before, so that helped, you know, just get some facility and get my ears happening, for sure. I had a day job at Barnes & Noble, moved a couple apartments, et cetera, and then just kind of decided after about a year and a half that there's worse things than being in school on scholarship, I realized. So anyway, I moved back, and by that time, the current band director, Eric Rombach, and also Glenn Koster had just started there as well, and Kerry Kaufman, who was my saxophone teacher, classical saxophone teacher, had just started there too. All, you know, top-notch, really amazing teachers. Not that the teachers before were not, but
exactly. These
teachers were very formative for me, and kind of brought a clean slate to the university, I feel like, and you know, really got a lot of stuff together.
So basically you were woodshedding in New Jersey waiting for UNM to get better.
yeah, I guess that's kind of the way it worked out, but
well, it worked out pretty well.
Yeah.
It seems like how does one make that that leap to writing music, Rob?
I think it's sort of a leap of faith in a lot of ways.
I mean, you've got an original or two on your first CD, don't you?
I think it's almost all but one original, actually.
Oh, okay, all right. So basically they were so good, I thought they were all, like, standard, you know?
Yes, I've spent a lot of time thinking about composition, and at some point, I have sort of centralized what I want to get across with my playing through my writing, you know, at least in, I want to have a band that is my band playing my music, or that sort of
okay.
stems from that concept. And you know, it kind of creates some sort of central force, you know. I mean, it's sort of the slowdown version of what you can do with improvisation. So it's a little closer, hopefully, to what is me, you know, and try to peek around more and more corners and in the shadows and find out more and more details to paint a better picture of what that is, who I am, you know, as a player, you know.
Is there a track on that your first CD that you think would be representative of your music?
Yeah, well, I think composing wise, I kind of like the counterpoint on the title track, Imaginary Landscape. I think that is sort of the mood that the whole album sort of comes from.
Did you get to hand-pick the band, or did you was it the sort of band that you wanted to lead, a band that would play your music? And
yeah, they were. They were all friends. So the organ player is a great friend of mine. Jesse Chandler was moving to Portugal. He was leaving New York after many years, and his wife is Portuguese, and he just sort of was fed up with life in New York. So they moved to Portugal, and I had maybe 3 months. And, you know, we'd played together, and some of the music had been played, but it was just one of these things. It was like, that I knew I wanted to do in the future, but I only had a couple months. So, you know, I wrote most of the stuff in about a month, and we got together and played some gigs, and just got it recorded. The drummer Bill Campbell and Adam Thomas, the bass player, are both really good friends of mine from North Texas, where I did my master's. So I'd known them for a while, and they were in New York as well. And Chris Cheek, I knew a little bit. He's, you know, of course, one of the real heaviest guys in New York.
Yeah.
I had studied with him a little bit and hung with him some and sat in, and so I asked him to come and do a couple cuts. But you know, another track that has been sort of a favorite, I guess, is Bind. That actually has gotten some performances other than me. I think that's probably the only one that has gotten sort of played by people. The only one on this CD anyway that's got played by people sort of outside of my band. Great piano player Frank LaCrasto has done it a couple gigs. Greg Ruggiero had done it at a couple gigs, and I maybe others as well, but some gigs at Smalls, I know they had done it, and that's sort of.
So do you get
sort of an honor, you know? combined, especially looking back, I think it sort of shows I was at the time and still very deeply into the playing of Warren Marsh and Lee Konitz and Lenny Tristano, you know, which is this...
How did you get into that relatively unusual bag?
I had actually, when I was living in New Jersey, it was probably 94, I guess, I actually got a lesson with Lee Konitz.
Oh, okay.
Which is sort of embarrassing because I knew pretty much nothing about him. You know, somebody had convinced me that that was the thing to do, that you should go study with Lee. And, you know, I called him, and nice guy, and whatever. Oh, sure, come to my apartment, have a lesson. And it was great. It was really cool and really good, but I knew nothing of his connection with... Basically, I had heard some older stuff of his, and I had heard, you know, of course, his stuff on, like, Birth of the Cool and that sort of stuff. But I didn't know about his connection with Lenny Tristano. I didn't know who Warren Marsh was. Short, just for the listeners, Lenny was sort of became a teacher guru to both of them, and those were sort of his two most successful, air quote, students.
And Lenny was a piano player.
And he was, right, he was a piano player, and Warren Marsh is a tenor player. So anyway, I stayed with Lee, and he had sort of talked about Warren. I remember all this as an afterthought, you know, but I didn't really get into it again until North Texas. And I heard this track by Lenny called Lineup. It's this solo track. It was recorded solo, actually, and then he added the bass and drums in later. It's on this record, the new Tristano, I believe.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I remember that one.
It's just, and one of the most amazing solos that ever been played. It's on All of Me, but he doesn't play the hat. He's just kind of improvising. He starts about 8 bars in, and it's one of the most amazing studies in kind of off-the-beat phrasing and playing over the bar line for really, really extended periods of time, you know. I think Bind is sort of shows my influence. I'm trying to write long linear lines over the bar line. Bind is also in 5/4 time, which is not necessarily something that they did, but I tried to throw a monkey wrench in there. And so it's sort of my nod to Lenny and company.
Okay, all right. You say something about your new release and select a track.
This track is actually one of the... I've sort of shied away from swing as of on this first CD and or at least 4/4 swing. It's kind of the same on this new record that's kind of finished. And here's a song that's 4/4 swing, and I'm trying to kind of combine the mood that I somehow have been able to create, I feel like, through harmony and a certain sense of groove that I think is coming from a lot of kind of alternative rock, Radiohead. It's influenced by Beck, Coldplay, I don't know, the list goes on. Bjork, you know, the long list of kind of popular things like that. This tune is, I'm trying to tap in and sort of bring those together because I like playing swing and I like swinging, but it's been hard for me to really feel personal with that. I think it might be partly due to all the things that we learn when we're transcribing and all the things that we study. It's hard for me to really integrate that stuff and feel like it's my own. So I feel like this is one of the first things that I've done in a swing feel that's been my own, probably yet, or at least the most my own yet. ¶¶ there's plenty of opportunities to play. And as far as getting some work and playing jazz gigs when you're home in New York, that's challenging. The gigs that I will continue to get called for are the gigs that they're hiring Rob Wilkerson to play. You know, they're not saying, hey, we need an alto player.
Right.
Hey, we need a soprano player.
What sound would they be looking for if they were going to be hiring you? How would you characterize your sound?
It's tough to put that into words. I don't know, we listened to a couple of the tracks, so I think that sort of best describes it, but I'll try to put it into words. Sound is really important for me. The sound I create on the alto, which is mellow and relatively dark upper register, which I think is somewhat unique, you know. And that's what I am going for. A lot of the guys that hire me are looking for melody, you know. And I have a certain amount of technique, but I don't think. I surely don't have the most technique in New York compared to some of my friends that are, you know, really can do the pyrotechnics, you know. And even some of the pyrotechnics that I can do, I try to not do for whatever reason, because it's just not necessarily what's in my head, you know. Somehow they're able to really make it work and make a whole lot of sense. But for me, melody really comes first. Those are the situations that I love playing in most. I love playing people's original music and just trying to get inside of it and make them happy, hopefully. I just wanted to add that as I was coming up, I was given pretty much endless amazing opportunities from the jazz musicians that were playing, that were around, starting, you know, John Sanks was my teacher, sort of was co-running the Albuquerque Jazz Orchestra, and, you know, kind of got me in there playing with them early on. Alto player Jim Irving, hopefully he's still playing regularly around, kind of hit me to this jam session that sort of became a house for a lot of young musicians called the Gulf Coast Eatery, and he sort of was playing there regularly. And I did a lot of learning there, as well as Connie Figueroa, Steve Figueroa's father. Sort of became aware of me in high school and asked me to come and sit in with him at the Outpost. Mark Tatum, Kanoa Kalhiva, I mean, the list goes on. Dave Parlato also gave me a lot of great opportunities. Mike Anthony called me for some gigs. And you know, all these guys that are in town, you know, I mean, they didn't have to try to help me, but did. And that was, I wouldn't have been anywhere without them.
Alto sax man Rob Wilkerson talking with Roy Durfee. Hear much more from Rob and other New Mexico jazz musicians at our website, newmexicojazz.org. That's newmexicojazz.org for extended interviews, music samples, photographs, and more. Our staff includes Nola Daves Moses, Carol Boss, and Genevieve Russell. Funding from the New Mexico Humanities Council, the City of Albuquerque's Urban Enhancement Trust Fund, KUNM, and Good Radio Shows Incorporated. I'm Paul Ingalls.